All right, on this episode of Industrial Talk, we are talking to a manufacturing legend who is passionate about you, passionate about education, passionate about getting that word out about how wonderful manufacturing is and delivering passion. That is on this episode of Industrial Talk. Let's get cracking.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right. Once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, a warm and fuzzy platform that is dedicated to celebrating you industrial heroes. Because you are bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, absolutely, you innovate. You're solving problems each and every day, and you're making my life, your life, the world a better place. That's why this celebration platform is dedicated to you, industrial heroes. All right, we are also, we've got three sponsors, by the way. Three sponsors for this particular episode. TX1, cybersecurity. You cannot, if you're venturing into this digital transformation, you better get on your cybersecurity and look into that. TX1 delivers a very nimble, easy solution. As well as Neom, you know, the community of the future. They're putting their money where their mouth is. They're deploying all of this great technology. Neom, neom.com. And then finally, because of supply chain, because of logistics, because of all of those challenges, boom, Cap Logistics, you need them in your corner, definitely. For all things shipping, contact them. Go to caplogistics.com. All right, in the hot seat, Lou Weiss. Now, you're saying to yourself, Scott, who is Lou? Absolutely. He's the president of All Metal Forge Group. Yes. But more importantly, he is also the co-host of the Manufacturing Talk Radio. So he knows a lot more. And he's forgotten a lot. I hope. I mean, he's amazing. So let's get cracking. Yeah. You ever have those conversations where you know, oh my gosh, I don't know as much as I should. And individuals like Lou and what he's been doing, I'm looking out on his stat card out here. Right? So if you want to find him, it's Lewis, Lewisa. Weiss, Weiss. And I've been doing this thing for 3-4 years, whatever, what we call this, media. He's been doing this over 8 years. He was a pioneer when it comes to manufacturing and saying, hey, I want to deliver. I want to be able to highlight, communicate, and talk to other professionals within manufacturing. He's been doing it. He's seen the changes. It's an amazing conversation. The guy's got mad skills. It's so much fun. All right. So I've been noodling around, whatever you want to call it, with some ideas. And one of the things that I've been driving toward is I'm very attracted to things that or approaches that disrupt. Now, that could be technology. That could be managerial type of strategies or approaches. And in that disruption, in that pushing the envelope approach, be able to really advance in a positive way, whatever that might be. And so I've had a great conversation with Catalyst Constellations with an S. By the way, they have an event. Go out to industrialtalk.com, an event on January 11th, right around the corner, January 11th. And it's a virtual event. It's free. And it all talks about catalysts. And if you think you're saying you don't know what a catalyst is, you need to go to that thing because it was eye-opening for me. They do a great job. That's Catalyst Constellations. And that is their event called the Catalyst Summit. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Find out. Go to industrialtalk.com. There's a link there. Boom, boom. No big deal. Anyway, that disruption, that focus on disruption, especially in today's very fluid, sort of squiffy type of world that we live in, don't know, we still have to be successful. We still have to be able to close deals. And we still have to deliver goods and services. So when I start talking about disruptive management approach, it's things like Catalyst and others, because I think we have to rethink. We have to constantly rethink the way we approach our market. The other area that I'm intrigued with is because we talk about all this great innovation, and it is. Don't get me wrong. I geek out in a jet second. But when we start talking about this, my concern is always, this is great. How can we make it available, sort of that democratization of the technology so that everybody and everybody around the world, because it's global, can participate, can benefit, can see their communities making leaps in the positive direction. And so if we have disruptive management styles that are just saying, hey, we're going to have to change the way we think and do that, and then be able to take the innovation that is out there, and you're thinking through it, and it's all great, but making it cost-effective so that more and more people, more and more companies can take advantage of it, and then, of course, removing or trying to drive down that risk. I'm just sort of in that mode right now because I think that there's a lot. So I heard a quote, which is pretty cool. Now listen to me on this one. No one has gone broke by helping others. Okay, you could say, well, I don't, you know, you can, but you get the gist. And I think there's a way of being able to sort of deliver that compassion, deliver the generosity, that purpose behind helping others succeed, being charitable in whatever you do, and think about that so that everybody succeeds in some way, shape, or form. That I'm all geeky about right now. So there's going to be more to follow, and I think it's good business. I think if you start talking about being that vulnerable, charitable individual, give of yourself, give of your, be it the other focus. Talk about disruptive type of management approaches. Get everybody on board, but have to be disruptive. I will push away that standard conversation about, and this is how we do certain things. I think that right now, disruption is a beautiful thing, and that goes with technology and making it available to most and many and everybody. Why not? I don't want to leave people behind. Do you want to leave people behind? I don't want to leave people behind. All right, let's get on with the interview. Again, Lou, don't go by Lewis. Don't call him. I would imagine he doesn't even respond to Lewis. I don't know. But he responds to Lou. And Lou Weiss, great stat card out there. Been doing it forever. Sage. Manufacturing Sage. And it was a wonderful conversation about where are we going, what are we doing, How do we get that message out? What's the next step? Where's, you know, what is that tipping point? There you go. I use that. That is on the docket. Enjoy the conversation with Lou. Lou, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for finding time in your incredibly busy schedule to talk to the listeners of Industrial Talk, the best listeners in the world.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, Dad, it's all on this side of the old camera, man. I mean, it's an honor to be able to talk to somebody that's been in the, not just manufacturing, but in the media space for so many years. And you've seen a lot of changes taking place. And you're one of the leading podcasters out there in the manufacturing space. So I'm all honored big time. Now, for the listeners, Lou, and just call him Lou, give us a little background, a little 411 on who Lou is, outside of the fact that he's handsome, if you're, you know, looking out on the video, but give us a background.
Well, it all started out with the canary yellow sport coat,
which you're sporting today.
Which I sport all the time. I've been in the industrial metals industry for 60 years and manufacturing and so on. And about 8 years ago, I was looking for a way to reach out to more manufacturing and how to do it other than just running ads in magazines and catalogs and so on and so forth. So I came up with Manufacturing Talk Radio, and we now have five podcasts all about manufacturing. I'm really enjoying it. We haven't made a nickel with it, but I am enjoying it, and I've learned a lot. And, you know, I meet people like yourself, and we share stories and experiences and so on and so forth. I'm just loving what we're doing.
It's funny how you bring up a good point. And the reality is that I'm living a dream because I get to interview people like you and others who are just at the cutting edge of thinking or whatever it might be, because I believe it's important that we continue to educate and collaborate to properly innovate going forward. And what's interesting is I realize I'm not the smartest or the sharpest tool in the shed, because there are a lot of people out there thinking about a lot of big things and definitely going to impact the world in a positive way, if not doing that as we speak. All right. Go ahead.
What I've learned over these last 8 years, and aside from the 60 years in manufacturing, is that there's a lot of people in manufacturing who they know how to make things, they know how to sell things, but they don't know how to market it correctly. And that's really a major issue. And so part of our mission has been to get information out to the public, my public, the manufacturing public, and let them know that there are better ways to do things than what they're doing right now.
Brilliant, because you're absolutely right. I think, especially in the digital world that we live in today, there are many ways of being able to get that message out, to resonate with your market, to be able to communicate your value proposition in such a way that brings out the human side, right? You don't want to be a sham wow guy when you got a great solution. You just show your human side, which is pretty doggone cool. Now, you have the Manufacturing Talk Radio, which is pretty, I mean, you've been around for a long time. I've only been around, well, maybe about 3 years or so, but you've been around 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, it's pretty, that's significant in the world of podcasting. And it probably, you've seen a lot of changes. I mean, I just realized when I started, I just started cold and I just said, I need a mic. I need something. I needed to, you know, I didn't have a clue. But nowadays with podcasts, because of the pandemic, podcasts really sort of exploded, and yeah, the solutions are a little easier to find. But back when you were starting out, I would have, that's forward thinking, my friend, thinking.
Well, we started 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And again, the whole point of it was, how am I going to market to my market differently?
Yes.
Than my competition.
Yeah.
And we now have, I don't know, about 700 shows under our belt.
Yeah.
And we're on multi platforms. And, you know, I think that we're doing a really good job in terms of getting the message out. I'll give you an example. We did a show this morning with a company that invented or promoted a device that you can point it at a piece of metal and it tells you the chemistry that piece of metal. I mean, that's incredible.
Shut the front door, man. That is amazing.
Yeah, 60 years ago, we had to send it to a lab. It took a week. It took 2 weeks. It cost about $200. And now they have a device that you point it at a piece of metal and it tells you the chemistry. It's really terrific. And not a lot of people know about this. So we're out there telling the message and educating the public.
That is innovation off the charts, because I can't even imagine what tech resides in that little handheld thing to say, yep, that's the makeup of that metal. I there's a lot of brilliant people out there. We're going to have to at least dive into manufacturing. And the reason we want to talk about that is there's a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of buzz out there. And especially when we start talking about challenges that manufacturers face today, supply chain, resources, you name it, and how do manufacturers leverage technology to help them create a business of greater resilience. You touched on the marketing aspect and their woeful capabilities of being able to get that message out. If you look at the manufacturing market today, Lou, what is your number one top whatever focus that is creating some pain out there?
Well, how long do we have?
Oh, hours and hours and hours. Just kidding, yeah, listeners. I mean,
the situation that exists today in the marketplace, not only here in the United States, but really all over the world, the supply chain is a mess. Worker shortage is a mess. It goes on and on and on. We don't have a proper governmental involvement in trying to fix the things that are going on right now. And it's really, really traumatic. And nobody's really doing a whole lot to try and, quote unquote, fix what's going forward.
You're right. It's a bit frustrating from my perspective. I try to be somewhat optimistic, but it is frustrating when you start to look at, you know, I can't find people. And that, if I had a nickel every time when somebody says, I've lost people, can't find people, and that impacts your ability to produce. One, I can't get the parts or the feedstock or whatever it might be for my manufacturing process. So that impacts. I can't do X, Y, C. And the reality is if you need to innovate, you need to be a sustainable business, because then that's capital outlay. I understand. Do you think the possible solution, or like, I can't, we talked about this. What's the first step?
Well, go ahead. I'm having my personal problem, and you said it before, is that you're trying to be optimistic. I'm having a hard time being optimistic, because every time I turn around, there's another obstacle that comes up, a new headwind that screws us up, and it's really problematic. And I'm having a problem with that, because things are not going the way they were some time ago. You know, forget about COVID, forget about work shortage, forget about the baby boomers, forget about the the Zers and
age group, young, whatever it might be.
I was actually reading an article today about the college versus trade school, and part of the problem with that is that families, the mothers and the fathers, have been pushing their kids to go to college. Well, that's not really maybe the greatest solution. Maybe they should be going for trade school, learn how to make things. But going to college, wind up with a $200,000, $250,000 debt. I mean, there's 44 million people in this country that have a college debt. That's insane. It's just insane. And Scott, it's really problematic for our entire structure of this country and others.
You brought up a point, Lou, that I failed to recognize. And from as a business owner like you, there's that mental component, that the desire to be optimistic, the desire to, and running a business is, it's got to be 80% mental and 20% whatever. But I mean, it's hard, and it probably impacts your valuable resources, the people, in a way, because they see it. They're working more hours, whatever it might be. And I've never really, and you're absolutely right. When I first started, I was a lineman. I started as a groundman, and then I went, I went through an apprenticeship program, right? And that apprenticeship program took me 4 years to get to be a journeyman. And I don't see that anymore. And that's with any skilled trade. And I think you're absolutely spot on where we were as a society remiss in our focus to promote these skilled labors and skills.
The only country that I know of right now in the world that's still training their the populace is Germany. And you know, they're the strongest country in Europe, and they still have high schools where you go to school 2-3 days a week to learn about the liberal arts, and 2 days a week you're learning about the trades. And by the time you go through 4 years of that, you wind up either knowing enough or learning enough to make a decision about what the best course of action for you is. And right now we don't have that. Right now we have, and I mentioned it earlier, we have parents who are telling their kids, you got to go to college, you got to this, you got to that, you got to the other thing. Meanwhile, you know, if you become an underwater welder, you're going to earn $150,000 a year. Yeah. Not that everybody's going to do that, but you can become a welder and earn $100,000 a year. It's not necessarily the best approach to go to college, even though it's good to be educated, it's good to know a lot of stuff, but it's not necessarily the best thing for you in terms of making a career for yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Lou. I think there's a misconception out there at that, you know, if I chose a trade, if I went the trade route, I'm less of an individual or less of a, but the reality exists is that there are a lot of sophisticated technology that exists out there that need trained, skilled individuals to be able to do it and do it effectively. And that is just with anything else. And so I back to marketing, I think we're doing a horrible job at communicating the what's taking place in industry and the need for skilled people.
But you're 100% right. And as far as marketing for manufacturers, again, I'm going to repeat myself. They know how to make things. They know how to sell things. They don't know how to market it. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there selling marketing, but not necessarily it's not all necessarily good stuff. And you need to adapt yourself to understand who your customer is and how to approach them. And a lot of these marketer companies out there who are going to, you know, charge you X number of dollars to show you how to market, they don't necessarily know either. And that's unfortunate.
Do you think, let's pull on that thread a little bit here. What do you think a manufacturer that struggles in marketing, what type of approach do they need to move forward in the world of marketing, to improve sales, to improve the bottom line, to create revenue, all of this stuff? I believe through marketing and a proper marketing strategy does that. What do you think manufacturers need to do?
Well, that's a very complex question with multi facets to it. It's a difficult question to answer. The point being that they need to understand who their customer is and who their market is and what the market is. And from that, you can then start determining what you may have to do in order to bring your customer into your world.
Yeah, because you started the talk radio, the manufacturing talk radio. Right. And I believe, just like I started Industrial Talk, was out of a necessity to be able to have meaningful conversations
with not just customers, but prospects to understand what's on their mind in a way that is not, hi, I'm selling ShamWows and blah, 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 blah. It's more in, what's your problem? How can we together solve the problem and deliver a solution that makes sense? And to be able to communicate that in a succinct, not overly difficult and complex way, which manufacturers do. Their widget is the best widget, and we're going to talk about the widget until the widget, it kills you, right? I don't think that the market has the capacity to do that. They just want to see some human side. Do you agree with that?
Well, one of the problems, and I do agree with that, but one of the problems that I saw 8 years ago, and it hasn't changed much since, is that we need to get the message out. Mainstream media doesn't do that. Mainstream media talks about this, that, the other thing, the politics, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Trumps, and so on and so forth. But they don't talk about manufacturing. So when Tim Grady, my co-host, and I came up with this idea to, we want to get the message out. We want to educate the manufacturer and say, okay, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're making parts, you're making products, you're doing that, you're doing great, but here's how to do it better, different, smarter, and so on. And apparently we are having some success with that, because we do hear a lot from people that listen to our show, people that are on our show, who tell us that, you know, we're doing some great stuff. And not to...
Go ahead. Do.
All right. We're doing great stuff.
Yeah. Dude, don't go down the humble road.
Yeah, really. I mean, but the point is that there's a lot of people out there that don't know what they're doing, and they don't have... And the people they're hiring, you know, they're hiring somebody who can... Yeah. Make something. They're hiring an admin person. They're hiring this, but they're not hiring an appropriate marketing person who's industrial oriented, who can say, this is what you got to do. This is how you're going to do it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that message out
and help people. Yeah, but Lou, you've got the street cred. I mean, you own a business. You're in the manufacturing world, and right. And your voice has gravitas when you start talking about solutions. And I find it's fertile ground out there. Don't get me wrong. Yep. And I believe that manufacturers, unfortunately, which there are gazillions, it's an important economic business for our country to have strong manufacturing, without a doubt. Write that down. But the reality is, I think many of these manufacturers have been bitten by so-called marketers that don't understand their work, their business, their direction, what they're trying to accomplish, and they sell them, you know, a bag of beans. And they need mark. It doesn't diminish the importance of having a marketer, a marketing professional on your team, but it does indicate that you better have that right person who understands what you're doing, that has sort of that industrial manufacturing pedigree in them, so that they get it. Do you subscribe to that?
Some of the problem, and I agree with what you're saying, but some of the problems that we have right now, you know, first of all, we have a slowing birth rate in this country.
Oh, yeah, dude. Wow. Yeah.
We have people retiring. We have people. Matter of fact, last week they came out for the first time. I heard this number that the Department of Labor came out with a number of how many people quit their jobs. Not how many people are unemployed, but how many people quit their jobs. Why do they quit? They want to have a transition to something else. They don't want to work. They want to sit on the porch and play their banjo and, you know, smoke their cigars. Right. There's a lot of stuff going on that we can't fix because the people don't necessarily want things to be fixed. Sure. And that's a real problem. So you got people retiring. I think the number is something like 10,000 people a day are retiring in this country.
That's stunning. I didn't know that. And see, yeah, you're 65. You're 60.
I'm sorry?
You're 65, aren't you?
No, I'm 78.
But it's, what's really is that the thought of retirement, you bring it up. Yeah, people are retiring. Yes, that's a reality of the workforce. And that whole intellectual capital's going out the door. And, that's a whole other conversation. But for you, you're still running and gunning and making things happen. And that's a beautiful thing, too. So I don't know. I don't think I'll ever retire.
My wife says to me, what are you going to do when you retire? I said, I'll probably start another business.
And then she turned her back on you and walked away.
Absolutely.
But you brought up that I didn't realize that, but you're absolutely that slow birth rate, that mass. Let's just say it's a silver tsunami. People are leaving, man. That's just right. They're going and they're out the door in a decision. And we're not backfilling. We're just not backfilling. And I way above my pay grade. I don't have the silver bullet to figure out how to address that outside of the supply chain challenge.
You know, last night on, I think it was MSNBC, they had William Shatner on. 90 years old. He's a hero of mine. I love the guy.
Cheers.
I was on a TV show that he had years ago, and I was interviewed by him. He's a smart guy. And he looks younger than me. I have more hair than him, but, you know, so be it.
Yeah, so be it. That's right. Yeah, whatever.
Where do I get a hat like yours to cover my head? I mean,
well, first off, you got to shave your head. You got to get rid of that hair. And then you put the hat on. Because
I see.
See, if I let my hair grow out like yours, I'd look like Bozo the Clown because nothing grows at the top. Everything grows at the side. Call it age. I don't know. I call it ugly. Let's put it that way. So I'm not going to deal with it. But now, Shatner, I always wanted to name my dog. Now, this is my family gives me a hard time, but I want that. I want a dog named Shatner just because I like William Shatner.
Right.
Why wouldn't you? So you as a business owner, you're dealing with resource challenges. You're dealing with a mental challenge of just trying to keep optimistic and keep pushing forward and saying, hey, everything's going to turn out okay eventually, you know, and then you've got to stay ahead of any changes that are taking place in your marketplace. You got to be strategic about that. You've got a lot on your plate there, Lou, and you got to produce this doggone radio show that tends to help everybody else.
Well, I'm doing this mostly out of passion. We haven't made 3.5 cents on this so far, but the point is that I feel compelled, being that I've been doing this for 60 years, dealing with manufacturers. I don't think that they all today are, and I'm just repeating myself, they're not all today up to speed on things that they have to do to remain successful, producing a product, making a product, and being successful at what they do. And, we're doing that to try and make things
better. I'm going to sort of be the guy on the other side saying, I bet you have made money. And the reason, maybe it's not through the platform here, but it is the recognition that you're out there. And then somebody's going to say, I was listening to Lou, and he has that company. I have a need, so I'm going to contact that company. I bet you that happened.
Well, we've been known to make some money over the years.
Yeah, see, I got you. See, now don't come poor mouthing to me about your media company when I know what you're doing. No, I don't have an outlet like you do where you have another company. I just I'm a media company. That's it. All right. So we're going
to
have.
I needed to do this just to pay for this canary yellow jacket.
A stunning and very fashionable canary yellow, which I haven't said much in a sentence before, ever saying canary yellow. But it's canary yellow, baby.
It
All
is.
Right. All right. We got to wrap it up. How do we get a hold of you? How do you, now that you poor mouth your own company, how do we get a hold of you?
So my email address is laweiss@manufacturingtalkradio.com.
Yep.
And, I answer all calling, so if anybody wants to reach out to me, there you go.
Can it go to your website, too?
Yeah, and the website, manufacturingtalkradio.com.
And I want to make sure that we're clear on that, and that's mfgtalkradio.com.
That's right. That's right.
Very good.
And we also have my steel forging company called steelforge.com.
Which you could probably sell the domain to a vitamin manufacturer, because that is a monument. That is a vitamin manufacturing name, baby. My God, Steel Forge.
Steelforge.com.
That's pretty good.
We've been doing that for,
more forever. Over 60 years, baby. Since you were 18.
That's exactly right. Oh, you did the math. Good for you.
Yeah, I learned something in elementary school. Something. All right. Listeners, that's Lou. Lou, thank you very much. You were absolutely wonderful. Enjoyed the conversation. And I guarantee you, we could have gone on and on and on.
I could have talked for days.
Days. All right, listeners. Fear not. I know you're saying to yourself, Scott, how do I get a hold of Lou? But I can't. I didn't write it down because I'm driving. Well, fear not. Go out to industrialtalk.com. Find his fabulous podcast. And all the links will be back. We'll be there. Lou, thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, that's Lou. Do not call him Lewis. Told you. The guy is just dripping with wisdom. It's so much fun to talk to somebody that's seen it all and seen how things have changed over a period of time. And he's engaged. He is passionate about manufacturing and making you a success and highlighting individuals that are every bit as passionate about you and your success. All right, again, thank you to the sponsors. Thank you to TX1, Neom, as well as Cap Logistics. Thank you for sponsoring this particular episode of Industrial Talk. Now, remember, let's be disruptive. Let's figure that out. Let's not do conventional. Let's not do that anymore. Let's think about how we can disrupt, how we can truly benefit people in a big, big way. Because you're bold, you're brave, and you dare greatly, and you're hanging out with people like Lou, bold, brave, and daring greatly. You're changing the world. That is your responsibility. We're going to have another conversation right around the corner, so stay tuned.